Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We're going to be busy today. We're going to be talking about, what's on Americans' minds. what are they concerned, even fearful of? We're going to talk about that. And also, we got Dr. Carly is going to be with us in a little bit. She's going to be with us for the second part of the show. And we got a ton of stuff to talk about with her. So if you get a chance, you can check out her website, Reversing Vaccine-Induced Diseases. And her banner's on our link area at thepowerherbs.com. So you check that out. And also, don't forget, coming up in the near future, June will be here before you can, shake your booty, basically. We're going to be talking with John Monroe on the 24th. He's our natural vision guy. He's from Boulder, Colorado. He's also going to be in the Charlotte, North Carolina area coming up in July on the 26th. He's going to be doing a vision health workshop if you want to join in. It's an all-day workshop at the Embassy Suites Hotel on Tryon Street, South Tryon. And you can contact him if you want to learn more. His number is 303-494-4532. That's 303-494-4532. Or you can visit the website at drbanker.com. That's drbanker.com. And you can click on their workshops to find out what's going on, where they're going to be. And I have one of their vision care kits, which I think is amazing. So it's part of the workshop, but you can call John and ask about it. And he's going to be with us next month on the 24th. But on the 17th of June, Dr. Carly will be back. She's here once a month with us always, sharing with us some very interesting information you got to know about. Now, if you haven't signed up for the free online health newsletters, you can go to the powerherbs.com website and click on newsletters, books and newsletters, and you can sign up for the one you want. And it's completely free, and you get health empowering information in your email each and every week. So also, if you do subscribe, subscribers do get some special bonuses for the Apothecary Herbs product line. So you get some special deals that you can recoup on the website or over the phone or through the mail, whichever you want. And you can get great herbal, organic, whole food products and save money at the same time. So check that out when you can at thepowerherbs.com. We have a quack report, but before we get into all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi. Righteous military, we're praying for our righteous men and women in the armed forces, because I know we have some. That's right. So if 26% of people can pray for their sports team, I think we could pray for our military too. We can pray for all of America for that matter. And let's all just lift up this nation and pray for God's help, because we're going to need it. I really do think we're going to have to seek the Lord's face and beseech him and ask, we all messed up here. We're sorry. Can you please help us out of this mess? It's, his will, but it's our job to ask. So you'll never, ever, ever, when all said and done, regret any time that you spent talking with the Lord. So enjoy and get to it. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Oh, we got some eye information here. Might want to talk about this with John when we see him soon on the air here. Google's eyeglass, apparently it gives you eye pain. Did you hear about this one? Yeah, the Google Glass basically can give first-time wearers some sharp pain and headache about 10 minutes after wearing it. So basically, if you go and you get fitted for the thing, you go through the tutorial on how to use it, expect some eye pain. Dr. Pillai, who's a Harvard optometrist, he was a consultant, a consultant that they brought in for the Google eyeglass, and it turns out that the pain that's associated when you wear that thing, it's because of the way your eye is reacting to the visual field, okay? According to Dr. Pillai, he says the only people who tend to look up are some professionals like electricians or painters. And he said, but most of us look straight or we look down. And but with the Google eye thing, you're kind of looking up into a corner of your visual field. And most of us, if we see something in the corner of our eye, we kind of just for a second, our eye is over there, but then we turn our head to bring it into direct alignment of our visual field. But on the Google eyeglass, your eye is kind of looking up into the corner of your visual field, and it's straining those eye muscles. Of course, you know, John's going to probably tell us what's all going on when that happens, because he is an expert in how the eye operates. So according to Dr. Pillai, we never actually look to the side with our eyes for long periods of time. So when you're using the Google Glass, that's exactly what happens. So he says it's like 60 times longer than normal that your eye is having to perform that task, and your eye gets a lot of pain, and you get a headache. When you take the thing off, the headache and the pain go away. So they say that it takes a few days or even a week for your eye muscles to get accustomed to this new visual field, and users say they limit their use, I guess build up to it, and avoid all that discomfort. All right. Well, you know, you can always get the vision care kit that John Monroe has over at Dr. Banker's Group and strengthen those eye muscles, and then you can wear whatever you want or not. All right, moving along in the Quacker. Here's something that's really interesting. Minnesota banned antibacterial chemicals in all those soaps and cosmetics. Did you hear about this? Yeah, those germ-killing, you know, ingredients that they put in soaps, deodorants, even toothpaste. Can't sell it now. Coming up first of the year in Minnesota, the governor, Mark Dayton, on Friday signed a bill that prohibits the use of triclosan in most of these, you know, consumer hygiene products. That's what's in there. And so the House and the Senate passed it, and it's due to take effect January 1st. So Procter & Gamble has already removed it from Crest toothpaste, and they're actually marketing the product now as triclosan-free. So triclosan is used in an estimated 75% of all your antibacterial liquid soaps and body washes. So Food and Drug Administration says it's perfectly safe. There's nothing wrong with it, blah, blah, blah. It's in the personal cleaning products. Well, they say it hasn't been shown to be hazardous to humans, but studies have raised some concerns that it could disrupt hormones critical for reproduction. So the University of Minnesota study published last year found increasing levels of triclosan in sediments in several lakes and streams. So the chemical can break down into your water sources and be harmful toxins to the environment. All right. There you go. If you need some really great soap, go to thepowerherbs.com, get some honey oatmeal soap. It is natural, organic, and it locks in moisture, and it clears away bad pathogens by keeping the good ones. And you won't feel all stripped of the natural oils that you're supposed to have. So check that out. You'll be glad you did. Last but not least in the Quack Report, here's something that's interesting. People are seriously considering in the medical profession outlawing, no more, absolutely forbidden to to have a handshake. Yeah, it's dangerous. Handshakes are now dangerous, folks. Infectious disease experts from UCLA say that the handshake is going to go the way of bloodletting, mercury treatment, and leeches. We're just going to have to do some sort of long-distance wave, basically. Yes, the Journal of the American Medical Association says it's time to say goodbye to handshaking as a greeting for health reasons. A firm handshake is believed to be one of the easiest ways to transmit germs like SARS and MERS virus. So you may be seeing some handshake busters all over hospitals and clinics and sort of like the non-smoking thing. So authors are saying that removing the handshake from the healthcare setting may ultimately become recognized as an important way to protect health of patients, caregivers, and everybody who refuses to handshake. Okay, so no offense, but don't want to get sick. So, hello, I'll just wave at you or salute you. Here, how about that? You know, or peace sign, dude, peace, something like that. So it's got to come up with an alternate way of greeting somebody without offending them. There you go. There's the key word. You know, text them. They can be standing right in front of you, maybe, and you could text them, hello, how you doing? Handshake, but not really. I don't know. A megaphone. Maybe two tin cans and a string. I don't know. Just got to – no handshakes, folks. That's disease transmission. Goodness. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about – the heart of America, because there is this heartbeat of America. It's confirming, you know, Americans what they care about, right? So polls, you know, people send out polls. They're often used to check the pulse of a nation, you know, as if to monitor its blood pressure. So depending on the poll segment that you use or get, you can accumulate all kinds of data. Now, for instance, let's say if you polled mostly, I don't know, medical professionals, the information would reflect, you know, concerns about contagious diseases, maybe even banning handshaking. So the truth is there is plenty to worry about in this world, right? So there's more complex energy, communications, and defense issues that get people even more concerned these days. So we're going to take a look at what folks are concerned about, what we could possibly do to soothe some of those fears. Security is on the list. Security seems to be on everyone's mind, from securing our borders to bringing our troops home from wars. So with security come economic concerns, because funding the military to make sure our national defense is used for Americans, right? Folks want to make sure the focus isn't lost in international issues. Sure, there is a global marketplace and concerns, but safety of the homeland should come first. So some Americans have doubts that our military is strong enough and big enough to defend this nation. So security forces other than the military are also a concern to some folks, and Americans are asking if these entities know who the enemy is. Now, the security list is long. Like, you know, people were worried about terrorism and nuclear power and long-distance missiles and communists. And, I mean, you know, it's long. The list is pretty long. And with worry and concerns like that, sometimes people get anxious and they develop even some phobias. There seems to be an increase in phobias and anxiety. Now, Dr. Raymond Ross from the Bruskin Report, he states that 46% of women and 36% of men have some serious concerns or even fear. He also says that the more education a person has, the less fear they tend to have. So, you know, status at Economics. Now, geographically, Dr. Ross reported that the population south of the Mason-Dixon line tends to have more fear. I don't know about that, but okay, that's what he says. Now, according to WebMD, nearly 20% of Americans avoid dentists. Okay, the dentists are usually associated with pain, and fear grows from pain and the unknown. So the fear of flying in a plane is based on the unknown and lack of control. So approximately 25 million Americans have aviophobia, or fear of flying. Now, weather is another problem. Weather, you know, the weather outside. Some never get over the fear of thunderstorms. And children are often afraid of the dark. But most of us grow out of that. But adults tend to be fearful of dark areas that are known as nycrophobias. It's fear of heights is another concern for about 5% of Americans. So all these fears give us a feeling of lack of control or awareness. Now, social phobias, such as, you know, fear of talking to a large group, eating in front of someone, or fear of people in general, affects 15 million Americans, according to the National Institute of Mental Health. Now, the highways, the subways, they create a lot of anxiety due to thoughts of a lack of escape. There's some people that, you know, can't stand to use public toilets or elevators or go over bridges or, you know, shop in malls or go to stadium or arenas with lots of people that, you know, lots of crowded areas. They just don't like it. So there's this fear of a lack of escape, a venue of getting out. So when there is fear, you know, this fear isn't healthy. It's not good. And there also is the fear of insects and reptiles and animals. People have lots of fears. There's fear of sickness, and there's fear of death. And also, you know, places, height. People are afraid of high places. Fear of heights, 19% of Americans afraid of heights. So now, comedian Jerry Seinfeld, he claims that we fear public speaking more than we fear death. That may be true. So in 1977, the London Sunday Times ran an article titled The 14 Worst Human Fears, and it seems outdated now. So back in 1973, people were more fearful about homelessness and crime, racism and drugs. In 1975, the movie Jaws came out. People were afraid of sharks, you know. The fear of sharks rose. And we have more fears today than ever before. So if it isn't nukes and the broken economy we're worried about, it's something else, like, I don't know, zombies and vampires and demons and aliens. Or how about Michael Jackson's lifelike hologram at the Music Awards? Now that was creepy. Did you see that? Oh, man. It's on the internet. You should see it before they take it down. But that was just wrong. Sorry. I know a lot of people think, oh, it was Michael Jackson. No. No. There's something wrong with that. Definitely. People were crying, they said in the audience, but I don't know. I don't know. You can weigh in on that, I guess. All right. Let's talk about the disease fear for a minute, because we've all heard that term hypochondriac. People, you know, hypochondriacs, they're worried about always having some sort of sickness. Something's wrong with them. Well, according to the World Health Organization, there are 12,420 different diseases in the world to keep doctors in business and hypochondriacs busy. Now, let's take a look at what Americans fear most on the list. Well, diabetes is on the list. The CDC estimates that 25 million Americans have been diagnosed with this disease, and 79 million will be shortly. There's going to be a whole lot of people with diabetes. This would account for one-third of the U.S. population. So modern medicine has most folks believe in that this disease is manageable and is more of a nuisance than a disease. However, it isn't a nuisance. It's the seventh cause of death. and it can make folks vulnerable to other diseases like heart attack, stroke, and renal failure. Blindness and loss of limbs are also casualties of having this disease. All right, stroke is also on the list. People are afraid of strokes. Stroke is the fourth cause of death, and 8% of Americans are affected. So the things which are most closely related with a stroke risk are diet, exercise, alcohol, and smoking. So it sounds like to me you have a whole lot of control over stroke and diabetes, because that's also usually diet, lifestyle driven. Most of the cases are. Okay, so lifestyle choices can lead to cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, blood sugar issues, right? All right, also on the list, people are afraid of heart disease. We lose about 600,000 people a year to heart disease in this country. About 10% of Americans are concerned or afraid of having heart disease. Now, it is the leading cause of death in America, and it is the most certainly compounded by weight issues like obesity. About 36% of America is obese, so the risk of heart disease is kind of right there with you. Now, Alzheimer's is also on the list. People are afraid of Alzheimer's because Alzheimer's and dementia has more folks concerned because it's such an unpredictable disease, and it's very costly to manage, very costly. So people are worried about that. I mean, you know, they don't want to lose their mind, you know. They just don't. They just go somewhere else, and they never come back, and they worry about that. You know, the movie The Notebook, you know, good example. It's kind of sad. Sad. And lastly on the list of the top diseases people are fearful of, cancer is the number one. Yeah, the disease that strikes fear the most is cancer. And the reason is most people don't believe there's a medical cure. Deep down inside, they don't. So, indeed, medical doctors admit that the licensed medical treatments have a 100% mortality rate. They don't cure it. Not at all. And, of course, remission is simply symptom reduction. Doesn't mean it's a cure. Cancer is the second leading cause of death, according to medical science. Let me read you a quote from the Journal of the American Medical Association. It goes like this. Over a period of 100 years, breast cancer treatment has evolved from no treatment to radical treatment, and it's back again with more conservative management without having affected mortality. End of quote. No improvement on mortality rate. Did you get that part? Okay. So this is what people need to know. What folks need to know is that it's okay to be concerned, but we shouldn't be worried or fearful. We worry there's some chemical changes in our metabolism which can make us more vulnerable to disease. So anxiety is fear, and fear is torment. And torment doesn't come from God, okay? So the drugs prescribed for such conditions like anxiety, depression, panic attack, just fear and worrying, those drugs create a greater health risk than having the anxiety itself, because there is a greater health benefit, I think, in praying and using some herbs like valerian root, for instance, for fear, worry, and anxiety. I would do that before I even considered antidepressants or other drugs. So, you know, read Psalms 91. Psalms 91, it is God's promise to protect you, definitely. Now, you've got to do your part and draw near to him, because faith really is dependence on God. That's what it is. It's trust. He wants you to trust him. And it's, what's that saying? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, because you're counting on him. You're giving him the control on that area of your life. Well, if you have limited control over fear and worry, it's not going to hurt to let God worry about that for you while you pray and trust him and let him take care of all the fear and worry. You do what you can, he'll do what he does, and everything's going to be all right. Right? In the end, it is. Now, Apothecary Herbs firmly believes that God has blessed his herbs as medicine, and he promises that in Genesis chapter 129 and Psalms 104. So give the folks at Apothecary
Herbs. All right, well, we're about to go on a break.
866-229-3663.
Okay, I'll let Wendy know you're here.
ThePowerHerbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. We're going to take a break, but we're going to be back with Dr. Carley, so stay with us.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, and it is the third Tuesday of the month, so that means our wellness expert, Dr. Rebecca Carley, is joining us. Of course, you can visit her website, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. Of course, click the banner on our links page to get right over to her site. And if you need to give her a call, her office number is 888-321-6751. That's 888-321-6751. And she joins us now. Hi, Dr. Carley. I can't hear Dr. C. Engineering problems. Can she hear me now?
Hello?
There she is, Dr. Carley. I can hear you now. How are you doing?
I'm still breathing.
Well, you're still above dirt. That's a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I got a stack of stuff here, unless there's something you want to jump in with right now.
Well, let me just say, May is Pet Cancer Awareness Month, and I encourage all pet owners to check out the package inserts of all vaccines, including pet vaccines. None have ever been tested to see if they cause cancer. So we know where the cancer is coming from, primarily from the vaccines, but, of course, also the roadkill food that people are feeding their pets and, you know, other things, heartworm
right.
medicine, and all the rest of it.
Well, some of our listeners know that you help reverse vaccine-induced diseases in humans, but you also do that in pets, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if they have pets that are suffering, give you a call. because they're part of the family, our pets. And I know you have several pets. How are they doing?
I have three dogs and two cats, extremely healthy. My dogs are taking your Power Greens for pets. I'm going to have to order some more.
Okay, no worries.
But, of course, they don't get vaccinated. They eat organic dog food and drink very good water with colloidal silver in it. So,
So you could give colloidal silver to pets. Now, how do you dose that out? What do we do?
I just pour, you know, probably 2 or 3 ounces into their water every day because all the pets share the water.
Okay.
You can't overdose on it. But, you know, I have my little munchkin that gets, like, these goobers under her eyes, so I also spray her eyes with silver, and that's how I deal with that situation. But, you know, although we have to deal with some very scary things, and I'm waiting for you to come up with a remedy to give people a backbone so they can face reality. But there are things that you can do to deal with what's going on. The hardest is the chemtrails because we all have to breathe. And until we can stop that program, we're going to have a problem. But, you know, just educating yourself as to what's poisoning you and what natural things you can do to reverse the damage will save your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I was just telling folks that the Journal of the American Medical Association and the UCLA folks have decided that they may have to outlaw handshaking because it transmits too many diseases.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, you may see some handshake busters around, you know, especially the medical community areas, like no smoking busters. There'll be no handshaking busters. So I guess we'll have to develop some sort of new method of greeting, you know, like Spock's Live Long and Prosper or something. What do you think, Dr. C?
These people are criminals. I mean, they have to be eradicated. You know, anything that's causing a problem they have developed. As a matter of fact, we're now hearing about increasing rates of Ebola. And I have an article from, let's see, April 2, 2014, from Bloomberg News, that the Ebola hunt has drawn U.S. teams searching for disease carriers of Ebola. Of course, they have made an Ebola and rabies vaccine that was reported in August of 2011. Thomas Jefferson University. So this is what people have to realize, that vaccines are biological weapons. They're actually spreading the diseases through vaccinating, especially people in third world countries. And we're paying for this. It's pure evil.
Well, what is your take on the Middle East respiratory syndrome, the MERS thing?
Well, if such a thing exists, I'm sure it was made in a laboratory.
Okay.
But it's another way to blame the Middle East, you know. The Middle East is the problem. Don't go to the Middle East because you're going to get this virus. As I've said many times on your shows, you know, colloidal silver kills all these bugs.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've heard, there's only 3 alleged cases. Nobody's died, so they're trying to scare people how dangerous it is, but nobody's died. So
okay. Well, World Health Organization has pumped up those numbers. They're reporting 536 cases, 145 deaths.
You can't believe anything they say. they make this stuff up.
Let me run you through this one, because Echo Health Alliance, they went over to the Middle East to find out about this one patient who died back in 2012 at the request of a doctor there in Egypt. And they ruled out, you know, the SARS, the Ebola, Hendra virus, and Nympha viruses from bats. So they were trying to find out what this guy had. And they finally did come up with MERS. The footprint for MERS was there. So then they were trying to find out where he got it. So the story is, Dr. Carley, that they traced it. He had pet camels and they traced it to camels. And now camels, the Minister of Health over there in Saudi Arabia released an announcement that 75% of the kingdom's camels have the biological footprint for MERS. The camels.
Okay, so we're going to believe that they've tested all the camels in Saudi Arabia. First of all, how did they even get a test for this? How did they even know what they were looking for? The answer is because they created it in the first place. And like I said, you can't believe any of their numbers anyways. It's just a massive scare tactic, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, just to be safe, don't kiss any camels, guys,
right
out there.
Right.
But I didn't know camels. I thought they were just, you know, transport beasts of burden. But they apparently are also pets over there. People have them as pets.
Well, the first question I would ask is, are they vaccinating the camels?
Well, they import them from Africa. A majority of them come from Africa. So if I'm thinking they go through quarantine and stuff, so probably.
Right.
Yep.
So that's where they're getting it, from their vaccines.
Oh, boy.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, all righty then. Let's see. I got... Unless you want to jump in there with something else, I got some more things.
No, go ahead.
All righty. Here's something interesting. You probably like this one. There was a family that just decided to outlaw sugar in their house for a year.
Call CPS. Go ahead.
For naturally occurring sugars that you would find in fruit. And the end of the story is by the time the family kind of purged their system of a sugar dependency, they couldn't even eat a birthday cake when the husband of the family had a birthday. It was just too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And they had fewer sick days, Dr. Carley. Just the daughter missed only 2 days of school the year there was no sugar, but missed 15 the year before. And so they just noticed they have more energy, they have less symptoms. So this one mom figured it out, that sugar could be the culprit for a lot of things.
Well, it's well known that sugar shuts down the immune system, so
that's
no surprise. And sugar, see, one thing that people don't realize is that the powers that be many years ago actually corrupted cane sugar. Cane sugar has chromium in it. When they process cane sugar, they take out the chromium. And a chromium deficiency is the main cause of diabetes type 2. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is pure, it's obvious that this massive sugar intake that people are taking in is causing them all kinds of problems. I thought you were going to say that they called CPS because the parents were, you know, causing the children to be underprivileged due to lack.
Deprived of sugar,
right.
Yeah.
Because I actually had some clients in New York a number of years ago that CPS was called because they were sending their child to school with lunches that had, you know, all organic vegetables and things of that nature. They raided the home and, you know, they had a problem. The children weren't allowed to go to McDonald's and things like that. Mm-hmm. So this is the insanity that we're dealing with. We're hearing about the obesity epidemic that's happening with children, which is, for many reasons, their poor diet, of course, top on the list. But vaccinations also damage a part of the brain that leads to anorexia or overeating. So it's always the big picture. And
now, is there any specific vaccine that does that, or just vaccines in general?
There's no way of knowing what vaccine does it. Any vaccine, depending on what the tissues used to grow the viruses are, that's what attacks, you know, the various parts of the brain.
Uh-huh.
So, but what people have to realize is that all of these things can be avoided, and that's why you have to educate yourself.
Well, scooting back to just briefly to the sugar issue, during World War II, some of the Pacific Islands, you know, kind of got rediscovered by our Navy, and they came across a couple of them that had, you know, villagers on it, and they had natural growing sugarcane. And the kids would actually walk around with sugarcane in their hand, eating it like, you know, it was, you know, a lollipop kind of thing. But mm-hmm. what the medical doctors and the Navy couldn't figure out is, you know, if they were eating all this sugarcane, how come they had perfect teeth? They had perfectly formed jaws. They had no narrowing and crowded teeth. The men in the village had that beautiful V, you know, broad shoulders, small waist, you know, mm-hmm. just the epitome of health, basically. And the thing is, real sugar cane, when you kind of chop it off at the base and you lop off a piece for the kid, that has all these minerals, like you were just talking about, in the sugar right. cane. It's still there. So exactly. it's not as detrimental as the refined version. And so it's interesting that within a decade, those same people, because, you know, they were kind of, you know, discovered during World War II, they got, you know, the Western culture incorporated into their island. Of course, then they started seeing the effects of our diet. Those villagers weren't looking as good as they did.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just thought that was an interesting little piece of history. All right, well, I got something here on a drug that GlaxoSmithKline is trying to push upon everybody. It's in phase 3 of the clinical trials. It's been listed in the New England Journal of Medicine. The drug is called Darafalib. It's Darafadib, and it's supposed to be a new heart drug, Dr. Carley. Mm-hmm. Here's the weird thing about this. Anybody that takes the drug, they emit this very vile odor while they're on the medicine, but it goes away when they come off the drug. So it's been dubbed the stink bomb drug. And GlaxoSmithKline is trying to get around this and move forward into its final phase of testing. But apparently it makes all the body fluids of the body release a dank stench. What in the world could be going on? I'm serious.
Yep.
I know, but you know, nobody's going to take that and smell
well,
like that.
Well, let me just ask, what's it supposed to accomplish? What's its alleged mode of action?
Well, all it says in this brief synopsis is it's an experimental heart drug turned out to be harmful and useless, and patients emit a vile odor while on the medicine. But the thing is, during the studies, not only does the drug not provide any actual benefits for the heart patients, it also puts them at risk at developing this foul odor in their urine, feces, and skin.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I didn't get the nitty-gritty of the chemical breakdown as to what it's supposed to do for heart patients. But anyway.
Well, and let me just send out, you know, what I would do if I was anybody listening.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I don't practice medicine nor give medical advice. I mm-hmm. just tell people what I would do if I was you. Stay away from these clinical trials. Basically, mm-hmm. what this is they're using you as a lab rat. And
yeah.
Sometimes they'll give you a few bucks for your travel expenses or whatever. But they're trying to find out what these drugs do, the side effects that occur just in the regular population. And in my opinion, anybody that signs up to do these things is insane, because this is always bad news. Because once they cause the side effects, of course, you will not get any kind of compensation for the side effects. Basically, the papers that you sign when you join up are basically, you know, excluding them from any responsibility. So the fact that this causes a stench in the people tells you that there's massive toxic, exposure occurring. That's why you stink, because toxins are being emitted from your body.
Well, it sounds like, you know, waste material stinks, so it must be producing an awful lot of waste material.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not good.
No. Well, Dr. Carley, Harvard, the researchers over there discovered a new shape called the Hemihelix. It's H-E-M-I-H-E-L-I-X. It's a brand new shape, and they stumbled upon the structure after looking at nano devices. That ring a bell?
Yes.
And so they're hoping to use the structure in sensors, resonators, and other materials to utilize its natural kinks in the design. They want to fabricate this complex shape and see how it reacts to light, the propagation of light. And the professors over there at the Harvard School say that, you know, who knows what could come out of this new geometry of shapes. It could be a whole different a field of medicine, they said.
Right.
Yeah. Hemifelixes. All righty. I don't know. The more I read, the more I see, the more I feel like, you know, Star Trek is alive and well. It really is.
Well, it's really amazing. This is no joke what you're saying. All the things that we've seen at Star Trek are actually happening now. And these mad scientists who believe that they know better than, you know, the creator in terms of how our bodies should be working are certifiably insane. And there's many people that are going to go along with this, get, you know, nanobots injected into them and who knows what else. You know, my message is eat good food, drink clean water, breathe clean air the best you can. Stay away from the white coats. Everything they do is harming you. That's the bottom line. And that's what I have realized in all of my years working in medicine. And then, you know, investigating the medical devils for the last 17 years.
Wow. Well, you know, you're right on about the nanobites and the chips, the microchips, because they're really moving forward in that technology. They say by 2017, they'll have chips that will replace a lot of by-mouth pills that, like birth control that women take. They're going to have the medication on a chip, which can be implanted under the skin. And,
right.
I mean, this whole setup, this whole, you know, one world global socialized medicine setup is going to love this because these new chips can deliver your drugs and even time release ones. You know how sometimes people, they say, forget to take their medicine now. Doctors can actually know through the chip technology how much their patient is getting and when it's being delivered and so forth and so on, so that there'll be no excuse for people not to take their drugs, Dr. Carley.
And if they decide, based on the side effects they're experiencing, they don't want to continue the drugs, they will have no choice because it's embedded in a chip in their skin.
Right. Actually, they say that the company that's developing these macrochips will deliver drugs up to, at first, the installments and the chips will deliver up to 5 years of medicine, but they say that they're working towards chips that can deliver consistently up to 16 years of medicine. Crazy, huh?
It's insane. I mean, anybody listening, I mean, come on. Do not allow this to be done to you, because then you'll have absolutely no control, as I said, over stopping it once it causes the side effects. This is genocide, period.
Well, yeah. Well, I know we only got a minute or two here left, but they're in the UK, Dr. Carley, they're coming up with the silico virtual physiological human called VPH. And what this is a huge interface program that they're making that it can stitch together volumes of information and make decisions. So I think it will eventually. Insignio Institute is the lead research facility over there at Sheffield University and Sheffield Hospital that are making this thing. And I believe it'll be an artificial intelligence system that's going to manage the operation of global health care, to be honest. So it will be a biological database. You know, like, for instance, if you know a young couple's having a baby, they'll plug in all the information from the parents, and the interface can submit recommended treatments to minimize future conditions. So it'll actually predict how a person is going to react to treatment. So let's say somebody needs a stent or a pacemaker. This system's going to be able to say, no, this person's not going to do well, is probably going to die on the table. So I think the system will start denying treatments for folks.
Well, first of all, people need to check out Agenda 21 of the UN, mm-hmm. where they admit that their goal is to depopulate the Earth by 90%.
Right.
As well as the Georgia Guidestones. Health is not what they're looking for, people. They're
right.
looking to do their transhumanism agenda, basically corrupting our very genetic structure and depopulating the Earth. These mm-hmm. people do not have an agenda to increase longevity. That's a total scam.
Absolutely. There's this one director of computer science at University College of London. He said this about this program. He said this is the future of medicine, but he says the idea is for us to have a virtual avatar to predict how our real bodies will react to treatment. He said, mm-hmm. will this avatar tell me when I'm going to die? I would say yes.
Yeah, because they're going to make you die.
No kidding. I say, you know, socialized medicine, you're not going to have choices, so people are going to have to fight back, get educated, get strong, and now's the time to do it, right, Dr. Carley?
Right. Forget insurance, which covers nothing that works.
Right.
You know, get yourself out of the system. That's the only way you're going to save yourself.
Absolutely. Well, folks can learn more by going over to your website, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. Of course, your banner's on our links page at thepowerherbs.com. Real easy, click and go. But if they need to call you, they can call you toll-free at 888-321-6751. 888-321-6751. And you can ask Dr. Carley to help you out, reversingvaccineinduced diseases. And she would tell you what she would do if she were you. Excellent.
Right. Which includes all diseases and internal medicine. And it's not just vaccines, it's all the other poisons as well.
But
yes,
awesome.
People have to educate themselves. That's first and foremost.
Get strong.
Thank you, Wendy.
Well, thank you, Dr. Carley. We'll talk with you again. And God bless. All right, information presented, folks, is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.